Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Dunk Comp On Air podcast. To tip things off, we're joined by Mr. Keith Fujimoto, aka Goldtooth Monster, aka Oakley and Allen, aka Vinny Del Negro, aka one of the masterminds behind the Ringer and Ringer NBA social media channels. Join us as we talk beats, ball and more with one of the true goats and OGs of basketball content curation. We thank you for tuning in, we hope you enjoy it, and remember...
Don't fake the funk on a nostalgic dunk.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classics.
I get to do a podcast.
I know, right?
My homies. Yeah, seriously.
It's unbelievable to have you. And like we've said before, we were recording a long overdue catch up, regardless of it being a podcast or not. Welcome to the inaugural Dunk Comp insert future podcast name here.
Dunk Comp On Air.
Keith Fujimoto.
You're...
Whoop, whoop. We'll start
it's a
off.
Pleasure.
Keith Fujimoto is one alias, but there are plenty more, and we wanted to kind of get stuck into that and for you to just run us through you as a being with basketball.
Me, I know. Sometimes we forget we're humans, you know. You put out so much content on the interwebs that you almost matrixed into an alternative reality. But yeah, it took me a long time to realize, why don't you just go by your real name? But it was Goldtooth Monster on Tumblr for a little bit, where I would just put, when Chris Johnson had his grill on a lot of different screenshots. Then it evolved into Oakley and Allen, and then now I kind of have to do a beeline when I mention what the Allen references these days, so we'll say that it's Charles Oakley and Allen Iverson were the inspirations to that. From Oakley and Allen, we moved to a very underrated 1-2. I don't know if he played the 3 very much. I feel like he was like on 8 or 9 teams, but maybe I just mainly remember his stint with the Spurs. Vinny Del Negro, and I had the genius idea of taking out the N and putting an E at the peak of Vine and calling myself Viney Del Negro. Shout out to all my Ringer colleagues who knew of that, and kind of that a tidbit, kind of not even to dive into a lot of the stuff, but is kind of how they found me and got me the opportunity to work for the Ringer. But before that, I used to make these videos under Oakley and Allen for the Glorious Franchise magazine. Little mixtape, diddly doos every week, finding the weird and obscure ephemera in the league, which took an absurd amount of time on a weekly basis, which, my loving wife would sit there and wonder why I'm pausing and stopping every frame of a game. But love you, babe. Actually, even before the franchise, I got a shout out, my boy CJ0, because we worked together for the Cauldron, and also shout out Jamie O'Grady. We worked together at the Cauldron. CJ taught me everything I basically needed to know about GIF making, getting the proper setup. So a lot of the polish in what Oakley and Allen kind of became and what Viney Del Negro was through his influence. So shout out my dude. And before that, I worked at Triangle Offense, which was a little basketball website that Complex had. So shout out my editor, Elena Bergeron, who kind of put me on to everything. Without that, I don't think that any of any of the franchise or ringer opportunities would have been present, really. Or I wouldn't have got my name out writing wise and into the internet ethos. But yeah, that's kind of the, I don't have the aliases that Deezus and Mero do, but those are kind of the backstory of mine.
The Oakley and Allen thing for me, I know you and PV have done bits and pieces back in the day because PV's a
Tumblr OG himself.
The man, the myth, right? Like,
exactly. The I know. We need Tumblr. Him to shoot off some of his, you guys should shoot off some of your you know, your Rolodex, no humble brags. It's just facts, you know?
No, well, I mean, I came across Oakley and Allen, obviously through Tumblr, and took, you know, a huge amount of inspiration from the content you were sharing, both the style and the nature of that content. And I suppose I was just wondering for you, given that, you know, Oakley and Allen has run for a very long time, it was a non-paying mm-hmm. project. Were there points along that journey where you thought, you know, I might look at doing something else, just given the time and effort you were putting into it with probably no monetary reward coming out of that? Or did you just, I suppose, continue on because you simply enjoyed doing it?
You know, definitely there was at least a few hesitations of continuing that without like any foresight into whether or not it would take me anywhere to get, you know, monetary reward for what I was spending so much time on. So I think maybe for sure 4 or 5 years ago, it was like, what are you really doing with this? Are you going to be able to reposition whatever you're taking so much of your time and effort into crafting and, you know, make that leap into something else, something bigger? And fortunately, it was an opportunity opened up for a social position at the Ringer where it was like, and I mean, before that, even if it wasn't for the franchise guys, shout out Justin, Chris, Brock, for giving me the opportunity to work on the video side of the magazine. I really don't know if there would have been an Oakley and Allen anymore after, because as you guys know, it's like your archives and content resources can only really go so far. And it's really tough when you're not getting paid for any of that, really. I mean, you could build a brand so much that, but what's really the point if you're not going to be able to expand that, or, you know, and that's kind of where I was at maybe like, yeah, definitely 4 or 5 years ago, I was just wondering whether or not this was even worth it, but thankfully it was.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when you told me that you you'd got that position at the Ringer, that social gig, and I was just elated because it was just one of those moments where, you know, one of the good guys who's put in hours and hours of effort for the benefit of others, for the enjoyment of others as well as yourself, has sure. finally been rewarded. You know, working for obviously, you know, the best website on the internet, right? It's it was an incredible culmination.
I didn't pay him to say that. I didn't pay him to say that.
But like you said, I mean, Oakley and Allen's still there. Oakley and Allen over at Tumblr is still there. And I mean, we encourage anyone to go over and look through your archives because they are incredible. It's just an amazing collection of basketball and basketball culture tidbits.
I think I put on my Instagram or the Dunk Comp Instagram a couple of Oakley and Allen shirts that probably predated that one for those playing at home PVs rocking a Oakley and Allen t-shirt. And I was going to wear mine.
Don't sue me, Skybox.
I was going to wear mine, but it's so loved and faded that you wouldn't have even been able to see it. So
hey, when you have a Vlade Divac shirt, you wear the Vlade Divac shirt.
That's true. But I would have liked
also buy Dunk Comps merch, because you ever want compliments when you go out, basketball fans will, I wore the VHS one too. I think like 100 festival, and then just, you know, eyes turning.
Bang. Can you deliver that in more of a light kind of promo, and we can put a little jingle behind it? And
hey, do you want cool basketball gear? Dunk Comp. buy it. Yeah, I'm still, I'm not a pitchman. I'm not
the guy
that sells my pillow.
I think we'll have to do a little dunk comp Oakley and Allen merch.
Oh boy, yes. At some point,
for sure. Massively inspired by everything you've done. And when PV and I were kind of doing the research for this chat and going back, looking at stuff, we realized how many boats we've used that you ran on.
There's the podcast name.
Boats.
I know. How are we going to spell it? Who cares?
But yeah. So do you sometimes see the dunk comp mixes come up and you're like, boys, come on now?
Never. Honestly, never. And if it did happen, I have not caught it. But you know, it would just further my thought that we are all one and the same. But honestly, seeing all the love that you guys have been getting it's like seeing your child dunk, even though I don't know, maybe there's another analogy, but it's not like we're running the same race, but it's like seeing your peers thrive, essentially. It's like Dwayne Wade looking at LeBron, which he says was a bounce pass, finishing the epic bounce pass. It's like, yes.
On those mixtapes, we obviously tip our hat heavily to you. Who influenced you in that game? Or was it just, you know, kind of the VHS?
Those Superstars videos, definitely. I mean, I as we all have, I'm sure the three of us, we've ripped different parts of those and just made it our own, you know, because even if the song was really bad, you were going to watch through the Derek Coleman, Kenny Anderson collab mixtape. But yeah, so those, obviously Inside Stuff Rewind, every time I kind of have explained the philosophy behind the weeklies, it's just like kind of reimagining what Rewind would be like today without the sped up VHS actual graphic and Ahmad Rashad on the call. And it's really the old school YouTube mix makers like David from Ball Is Life. Expired Pineapples was a huge, huge inspiration. Was there a Yinka Dare? Okay.
That's right.
He or she or whomever was a very big inspiration to what I try to do with my mixes. Maximilian. I'm not sure if I saw him before or after, but regardless, he has inspired the way that I think about visual mixtapes. Gods Connect too, his stuff with beats and different sorts of footage is extremely dope. But yeah, I think mainly it's the Inside Stuff 90s kind of vibe that, you know, I even threw a lot of just static and literal VHS overlays from tapes that I'm cutting to make it feel like you're watching one of those. So yeah, those were really the kind of the vibe I wanted to create with mine.
Yeah. The power of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
When you think about the strike rate, although there were obviously some jams, but there were, like you said, a lot of whack.
Yeah, a lot of joints. A lot of I know this is Atlantic Records or whoever.
Yeah.
Whoever had the distribution connect had to.
What was that one at the end of Superstars 3 with that? It was killer because it's got like the Fonz and like everyone just throwing, like, are you ready to fly or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I guess.
When we say like kind of remixing the classics, because sometimes you got to chop the crap out of those things. And
you got to make it more palatable.
Give them the beats they deserved.
Exactly. That's really what we've been doing, is giving the clips our past like a better bed to lay on, you know.
That Oakley and Allen offshoot, Vonnie Del Negro, obviously, like you said, named after the great Spurs off guard and NBA Live 95 legend, Vinny Del Negro. I suppose, I mean, I drew a great deal of enjoyment creating Vines while that platform was up and running. I'm just wondering, you know, what drew you to Vine? Because you obviously invested a lot of time in it. How did you feel when it was shut down? And I suppose, thirdly, have you taken those skills and transferred them to the omnipresent TikTok?
Oh, TikTok. So Vine, basically, I try to, you know, hop onto whatever is at least kind of the it thing on the internet. Vine was hot. And then, yeah, you know, some of it just really translates to basketball, or there can always be a basketball angle to a lot of the different things on social media. And obviously my take on it was just like, okay, let's see how these, and then you obviously only have 6 seconds to make an impression. So it's much more difficult than the like 1 to 2 minute mixes that you would create or I would create. So, and in all honesty, it's kind of like looking through those for a little bit, little chops ultimately that you can just throw up on your page. And Vine was perfect for that until they started not wanting you to use music. So Vine was fun though. It was, I just really spent an exorbitant amount of time trying to make sure that thing loops on the beat.
It actually takes longer than a 2 minute mix.
Yeah, dude, it does. It does. But once that thing loops, you're like, oh, okay, those 19 hours were worth it. But
sometimes it changed on the upload, so you have to like upload.
Yeah. You delete the upload. Yeah, and then sometimes you get an error, and then you got the two of the same videos up. Twitter problems or Vine problems. But yeah, it was just fun to try to match, like, and then it's weird how you would, or I would just kind of approach it like, okay, what 6 minute, I would go with music first, like what 6 minute loop is going to match with this clip. And I'd usually just like chop up a play so you get different movements of the play, like maybe take the game action and then cut it to when the pass hits the man about to roll to the rim, and then cut that into another angle. So I really just feel like this is visual chopping of different basketball moments. But yeah, that was Vine. And oh, TikTok. I'm on there. I've mainly put Keiko stuff on there. And it's weird how the biggest video I think I have on, or the best performing video on there is her pretending to smash this castle of kinetic sand while the Game of Thrones theme plays in the background. So to answer your question, I do not understand what is going on there. I have though thrown basketball clips on there because one of my friends, Drew, shout out Drew's that dude, has been crushing it with old clips on there. So there is a lane. So if there's a dunk comp channel, I'm going to hit, I don't know what the nomenclature is, follow, subscribe, whatever.
Yeah. I think we need to get PV on that, cause PV had some hits on Vine as well. But now just,
and I will admit the editing stuff you can do on there is pretty cool. I mean, I wish we had this like 10 years ago, and that would have been nice. You know,
I totally agree with, you know, what you're saying about Vine allowed you to sort of grab some of those, you know, very short clips that might be buried in compilations, buried in old VHSs, and give them some, you know, shine in isolation, you know, that sometimes they get missed. And I think Vine was a great platform for, you know, drawing attention to those lesser known but equally enjoyable moments in basketball.
Exactly. It's like, and it's, I think the aha moment I had was like, there was this one segment on, I know you guys will probably remember it from Inside Stuff, where it's like Sheed saying, oh, starboard bound or something. And then it's a quick cut. like Vine was perfect for those little, like Danny Ainge on the drums and then Harold Miner like trying to sing. Oh yeah, Vladi Divac putting the headphones on Willow Bay. So it's like those little bits are like, wow, this is great. But if you, I mean, it would work now on Twitter, but I feel like 10 years ago, if you just were to put that clip on Twitter, it would have been like, where's the rest? Is are you going to show some Vladi passing highlights or that one time he blocked Kobe's dunk? But yeah, Vine was fun. And when it shut down, and ultimately I really had to learn Vine because the Cauldron's Vine account was really a notable thing. I think
they were awesome. Those Cauldron Vines, they were awesome.
Yeah. Shout out CJ. Cause I remember that. I know that I see the watermark on the Jimmy Butler GIF. And I know that that was for sure a Cauldron Vine with him doing the, whatever the zoom in. Wow. Jimmy Butler too. Just a reaction GIF mine.
He did well in the, he did well in the Ringer GIF bracket, didn't he, Jimmy? Did he?
Oh, yeah. I feel like he did, but that fucking Alonzo GIF, man, is not. poor Alonzo. I really feel like that, the greatness of that kind of eclipses all the, it's like he's not even get remembered for being just, and then it's like, oh, it's Steph Curry's dad. He's the one who hugged the meme guy. So it's okay. Yeah. I'm being too get off my lawny right now. Let's
there is a bit of that. Let's get to the Knicks, because obviously the name Oakley and Allen heavy on that New York tip. So let's just talk the Knicks. I mean, there's been some good years. There's been some tough years.
Oh yeah, there have been. It's a question I get a lot because, you know, being from good old Los Angeles and being a Knicks fan is a very big, but why? Which, don't get me wrong, fully warranted. Why the fuck would you do, just commit yourself to such misery for so long? But like you said, there were moments. Just seeing Oak and the X-Men body people up for so many years was very gratifying to me as a young child. And seeing someone as just, I don't know, something about Patrick Ewing too, just was a very interesting thing for me to watch when I was watching basketball at a young age. And obviously I loved Magic Johnson. The Lakers were the shit in this city, and rightfully so. One of the biggest moments I can remember with my brother was that Ori 3. And I don't think we've embraced so hard until my wedding day. So yes, the Lakers were cool. That era of Eddie Jones is definitely one of my favorite basketball players ever. But just something about the Knicks, the colorway, the... And when I first went to, when I finally went to the Garden with my wife for the first time, it's like, I get it. This is, there's just something different about this atmosphere here, where a very short movie director will just yell epithets at players and, you know, go ham. But yes, it's been a very weird time to be a Knicks fan. What is seemingly felt like for the last decade now.
Obviously we got you on for a lot of reasons. One is your absolute supreme taste in music. So
we've got
a segment. It is a debut, but hopefully this will be an ongoing segment. Songs in the key of
love
basketball.
Me a seggy. Ooh.
So, I love songs the in the key of basketball. You like that?
We'll put a little... I like that. I fucks with it. Trademark it now before the internet gets a hold of it. Yeah.
And we're going to make yours a Knicks tape.
Ooh,
Knicks
okay.
Themed. So we're going to hit you with some players, and you can hit us with a song or album that talks to that player.
Kurt Thomas, elbow me with these suggestions.
All right, here we go. We'll start with Pat.
Ooh.
The Hoya.
I would just go anything Barrington Levy or Lee Perry, something, you know, vibey for his island roots. That's probably where I would go with Pat, if anything.
I like that. John Starks.
Ooh, Starks. Starks got to be like something New York hip hop, like the Boogie Monsters or, although just, I don't even know. Just when I was looking away from the camera, I just remembered the shitty game that he had against the Rockets. But he was still a beast. So yeah, maybe like Keith Murray, some Keith Murray stuff. Definitely not the most beautifulest thing in the world, because he wasn't. But you know, something New York 90s.
Def Squad-y kind of.
Yeah, Def Squad. Some maybe Red Man. Yeah.
What about Spree?
Ooh. Latrell. I know I have made a mix for him, and I think I put like a James Brown, JB's era instrumental over that. So I'll stick with that, like a funky upbeat. Something like that. And
yeah.
the Spree I'm thinking about is more the bald Spree for this. But I still think Cornrow and One Nick's Spree was a problem.
What about Kurt?
Ooh, Kurt Man. Thomas.
Maybe like what sound did you throw a beat under that?
I think that was just game sound, just so you could hear,
all,
you know.
That's all it needed.
Yeah, you need to hear Kurt do work. You know, I didn't need to do anything under that. Kirk.
If you were to score that though.
You know what would be funny is to hear like Kurt Thomas and like Cameron. Like Purple Haze era Cameron. Just to see if it would work. Damn, what would I do with the Kurt Thomas? I would say maybe just go easy success, like Kurt Thomas and like a Knowledge instrumental. Cause you know there's low key 300 of those that can just, it's just crazy how it feels like he makes his beats so we can use them on these mixes. They're all like one minute and change. Perfect loops. But I'll go with a cheating answer of just saying just like a nice beat, an E1E, a Twami, a Knowledge kind of ish beat.
Oakley,
my man, my main man. Shout out to Ahmad Rashad, and I'm pretty sure they're probably still friends. Oakley, man, I might go like L. I still don't even know if it's L. Mitchell's affair. Maybe some L. Mitchell's affair.
Especially with his passing. Mate, his passing.
Yeah, it's underrated. Oof. Those lobs the lobs he did to Vince were very, very nice. Very underrated part of Vince's dunks for their time in Toronto. I don't know. Even like something jazzy, some Bobby Hutcherson or something. To just underscore the frenetic energy that he had would be kind of cool. But I think with Oak, you just got to have something tough or something cagey.
Mm. Yeah, I think L. Michaels. Yeah, I'm the same with you. I'd never know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know, but they got some beats. Yeah.
Rough but smooth.
Exactly. Maybe even like something with Gibbs. I think Gibbs is gritty. Oak would fuck with Freddie.
Mm. I like that. That'd be another segment, like the MC apparent to mm-hmm. But anyway, you can have that one.
Songs in the Key of Basketball is untouchable, so we'll keep with this.
Jay Lynn, Lynn Sanity, that era.
Oh, that's Jeremy. Great. But I think that actually was one of my biggest mixes is when he played the Lakers and went off, and I think I put the Mountain Brothers Oh yeah, putting Asian and Asian stuff together. Oh, but I'm Asian, so I feel like I'm good. But yeah, I think he put the Mountain Brothers, a Mountain Brothers track over it, and one of the dudes from the Mountain Brothers shared it. So I felt like that's the only kind of, sometimes those are the only cosigns you really need in order to validate putting some content out there. So
we'll go one contemporary player to round out the Knicks tape. Bobby Portis.
Oh, Crazy Eyes. Man.
He does have
the first thing that popped up was Rage, Bulls on Parade. And it probably would work as a dub entendre since he was a Bull. And
yeah,
they paraded his ass out for punching the man who got his ankle shattered. The man who got his ankle shattered by Kemba Walker. But yeah, I'll stick with that. I'll go Rage. Something Rage Against the Machine with Bobby Portis just grabbing rebounds and shooting top of the key jumpers and boxing out.
Ill-advised three balls.
Yeah.
We've already talked about, obviously, the franchise collabs, the weekly, that just, again, people just need to seek that stuff out. Are they easily watch? You've uploaded those to your YouTube channel as well, yeah?
Yeah, they're probably on it. I'm pretty sure that I have a YouTube playlist somewhere with
YouTube,
all those.
YouTube.com/...
It should be / Oakley and Allen still. And Allen. Yeah.
That's, you'll lose a couple of days watching
that. Yeah, there's 100 episodes easy of the weeklies. They're just
mm-hmm. incredible. There was a lot of them. When Paul asked earlier was there a time when you stop because you're not getting paid for it? And it's moments like seeing what you guys are doing and just, you know, seeing the respect out there that I get for doing this for so long. It makes all those doubts kind of validated that I could get past that and do this and make this into something that's adding to the culture and whatever, or how small or big, you know, as long as I could do something to contribute, I feel like that's, you know, that's all you can do.
It's big.
I definitely see that weekly series, you know, the contribution that's made. I liken it a bit to cord cuts. You know, I can see people revisiting those weekly compilations the way you know, sort of people try and revisit cord cuts now, just to get that really that footage and those moments that it's not available anywhere else. And the stuff that's buried in those weekly compilations, you'd be lucky to track down anywhere else.
Appreciate that, man. I've honestly been going back to those and just pulling GIFs and reaction GIFs out of them because it's like, oh, wow, I forgot about this.
Yeah, there's long-lasting value in those, for real.
Indeed. And it's almost like, going back to Vine and stuff, it's almost like the Vines that we captured, if you were able to download your archive and stuff, is set up for this new thing on Twitter where everyone's more intrigued by posting the video clips instead of like, the video clip is now the new GIF and, oh no, I've done it, is the new GIF.
GIF.
Yeah. And then it's weird how ultimately kind of the screenshot too is a little more popular than a GIF. But yeah, it's like, you know, just like with adapting to Vine and maybe TikTok, it's like you just got to figure out a way to evolve without kind of fucking with your core ethos of why you're doing what you're doing. You don't want to bite too hard and do something that you know you're not, you know, authentic with. So
yeah, no, totally agree. And you can certainly, you know, you certainly go back to the Oakley and Allen Tumblr and you'll see all those formats there. You'll see the screenshots, you'll see the, you know, the magazine scans, you know, those mm-hmm. short clips, as well as obviously the links to some of your longer form stuff on YouTube. And it all has the same feel to it regardless of the format. You know, that's the ONA brand for any of those items.
All right, PV, hit him with some quick fire questions and we'll get out of your hair.
Okay, so to close out, we've got a few quick fire ones for you. The first one, favorite basketball card series of all time?
But honestly, I think one of my favorites, and I have unopened packs of them somewhere, is the Skybox Z-Force. I love those. And as a kid, I really enjoyed, you know, Top's Finest were just weird because you have to obviously, do you peel off the reflective thing or not is the dilemma. But yeah, those two and maybe some Fleer Flair. I thought those were pretty cool. But hands down, Skybox Z-Force, I will ride or die with.
Good choice. Very good choice. This one's a two-parter. Favorite NBA VHS and then favorite VHS segment.
This is definitely the favorite VHS for sure. I'm showing the visual, but it's not going to be able to visualize. It's the Inside Stuff, the best of. That's probably my favorite VHS. And the, what's it called? The Pete Maravich tutorial one. I don't know what it's called. I have it somewhere, but that is an entertaining watch. And but you already know.
Stuff thing is unbelievable. How many? Yeah. What are we talking? Is that three?
That's
takes?
A two. That's a two. It's a tour, a two-parter. Oh. And I remember making a mistake of putting the whole thing up on YouTube and then just immediately taking that down because I'm like, oh, this is.
No, you don't
can't get. You can't get. Yeah, you can't get these mineral resources that easily. And segment, I just got to go back to rewind because that was just very instrumental. Even. I'm cheating though because that's technically like the segment of a show.
No, that
works.
A bit of that's good. That works. Okay.
That works. Yeah. Unless you've got. Okay. I mean, you
kind of.
Which is the.
The Kenny Anderson. Who's Eric Sermon?
Yeah,
I think that's probably one of my favorite. Shout out to Chibs too. He's always been a very big supporter of ONA for some reason, and that. Makes me immensely happy. But yeah, that Eric Sermon, Kenny Anderson thing hit. That's probably one of my favorite segments from the Superstar series for sure.
The next one is favorite basketball mixtape of all time. Now you alluded to some of the influential figures who may have produced some of your most loved mixtapes, but yeah, we'd be interested to know if you have a favorite.
Man. I don't know if Expired Pineapples did like a Sean Kemp. Did they do a Sean? I think his Sean Kemp one.
Incredible Sean Kemp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the one with the Star Wars?
It closes with the.
Yeah, shit is.
Yeah.
Fire.
That one hits incredibly hard. I remember watching that just on loop the first time I found it. It was just, yeah.
And anything Maximilian has done with Vince Carter is, yo. Unfuckwittable. Don't touch Vince Carter highlights because he's, and then old school basketball. Don't touch Michael Jordan stuff without making sure he hasn't crushed that because he's killing the Michael Jordan. And honestly, a lot of the 80s and early 90s stuff. I'm happy to see his stuff kind of get a good. Push because he's putting in work too, and I don't know if he's reaping any benefits from that, except for like the Rex Chapman plugs.
No, Rex. His work is incredibly slick, and those archives run very deep.
For sure.
Favorite NBA or basketball video game?
I just gotta go Live 95. This you know, it's not. It's not the prettiest game play or graphic to look at, but damn, it was. I still remember like going to Toys R Us, and then you had to pick up like a piece of paper to get the to make sure you had a vested interest in making sure you definitely got this game. So, if a game could make you feel like, or if a piece of paper could fill that excitement about a game before you even have the game in your hand, I will give it to NBA Live 95. The one I've probably played the most is Hang Timer Tournament Edition, but I can't go that easy.
Do you have a favorite Australian basketball player?
Man, I got it. I haven't seen a lot of him, but you know, everything I've heard about Gazy is epic, and he gets all of my respect. But the one that I've just can't ever not root for is Patty Mills. He's just a lovable dude. I he's just a joy to watch, especially like ever since he was a Blazer. I was like, this dude is cool. I like him. But if I had to pick one, it'd be Gaze. I forgot who's the dude with the longer hair in the ponytail. Chris Golding.
Yeah.
I fuck with him. I like him.
Yeah, he dropped 50 in a game for the same team that Gaze made his name.
Yeah. On,
favorite NBA jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. I got to go Bullets Sheed.
Oh.
The red one. That's the one. But these what's it called? These Grizzlies retros are beautiful. I got the Jaw one, and that is
great pickup.
Art.
So this last quick fire one we've got for you, and you've made countless ones of these. What is your favorite GIF?
Lord, that's definitely Man, it might be that John Wall one where he's telling Dennis Schroeder to fuck off. That one is definitely an all-timer. But the one that it's just hard because I'm breaking the rules again. It's not necessarily a GIF. It's that Larry David genie bus.
Oh, that's iconic.
Where it just went. I didn't even do much. It just the theme song just went too well with the sequence of that video.
That was all over timelines, that one.
Yeah, that was probably the most memorable thing that I think I've created in a while.
I thoroughly enjoyed that one. That is a classic.
Yeah, that was fun to catch. And just, I was very lucky no one else did that before because it was ripe for it. What else? There's this one of Sheed doing the electric guitar when he's on the Celtics. That one I like. And then I think my favorite one I've made for the Ringer is that Larry Nance one I talked about earlier, where he's just going through it on the bench and no one else seemed to luckily catch it. And it's just selfish of me to think of favorites based on that. But I think if I capture it and I don't see it up, those are the ones where I'm like, yes.
Shout out to you for all this stuff. Because even though when you're doing stuff through the Ringer, for those that, you know, if you know, you know, like we can still see you dripping from some of that stuff.
Appreciate that. I mean, I try to be as like low key and ghostly as I can, but I still obviously want for and those like you guys that know. Yeah. For those of you guys that know and have been with me from day one, it's what's it called? It's just, that's what makes it gratifying to just know that I'm reaching people from a larger platform ultimately, which is super cool.
Not only did we break our podcast, Cherry, we broke yours being a guest, which is criminal. I can't believe
that. There, we found the podcast double whammy. there's probably like an Anchorman spinoff of that podcast somewhere. But you know, we'll, like you said, this is both of our first times doing this, so we'll figure it out. You guys will do more of these. You'll, you know, just keep the, what's it called, songs in the key of basketball thing. You're good.
Yeah, that's a good point. But massive shout out. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for the...
Man, thank you guys, man. This is probably ended at the perfect time because I think the child is like, where the fuck is dad? Keep dunk comping, man. And I'll keep posting random screenshots that I found on external hard drives and keep this thing going.
Keep killing it.
Thank you, Case.
And vice versa, dude. You guys, cheers. I'll catch you all on the flip side. And it's whenever you got
really
that,
appreciate
whenever
it.
That, whenever that merch comes in, just tell me. Because, hey, do you want cool basketball gear? Dunk comp. buy it.